Moshe, the Hamshach, the Kedush of Shabbos, into the Yimei HaChol. No better way of doing it than having a Seder. Limud, remember when I was a book a long time ago in Yeshiva, we didn't have an official Seder, only so Shabbos, but a few of us got together and we'd make a little blah blah blah, say Dibur Torah. I guess that's the way this idea started as well. And it had tremendous hashpah. All the people who participated, I look back and that little blah blah, I think there were about four of us all together. But Baruch Hashem, every one of them went on later on to continue learning the Habotzes Torah. So first I want to give you a chizuk in that this is something to really kedai to keep up, kedai to be mechazik for all of you chaverim. The nekuda that I want to speak about tonight was in Yom HaDiyoma. We just got through a week where everybody's attention, good or bad, everybody's attention was focused on
America,
who's going to be elected as President of the United States. Huh? The Red Sox, the Yankees, that's over. The next issue is who's going to be president. And what I'd like to suggest is that the outcome of the presidential election is about as meaningful to us as who won the pennant and who won the World Series. Because there's a beautiful Yiddish expression which goes like this: Mensch tracht und Gott lacht. Which means, literally translated, man thinks and Hashem laughs. On an individual level, the Yochid who has free will, has bchira to decide what he wants to do, yes to the Rotzen Hashem, not to the Rotzen Hashem. The meaning of a man thinking and Hashem laughing is the illusion that the individual person has that he's the master of what's going to come as a result of his thinking and as a result of his planning. Abois machshava is belavish. Matzas Hashem yisaku. Man can take a think. Rav Hashem gives him b'chira chofshit, free will to decide what he wants to do. But whether he's going to succeed in carrying out his plans or not, it's not totally in him. Matzas Hashem yisaku. What Rav Hashem wants. But that's as far as the yochid goes. What about when it comes to a ruler, to a king, president, the ruler of a country? There's not even an opportunity for the mensch tracht. He can't even think for himself. He can't even have free will to decide what he wants to do that's going to affect his entire country. Shlomo HaMelech says, Pal geimayim, leiv melech b'yad Hashem l'choil asher yachpo et yatenu. The heart of a king, like the course of a river, is in the hands of Hashem. And wherever Hashem wants, he will guide the thoughts and decisions of the melech towards that direction. Because since a melech's decisions and his plans affect not only himself, but in effect an entire Medina, in fact all of his citizens, then the Rabbi Yishlam doesn't allow him to have a free hand in deciding what he wants to do. He doesn't have bchira, he doesn't even have the mensch tracht opportunity that the yochid has. And the Malbim so beautifully explains the moshel that Shlomo HaMelech gives. What does he say? Pal geimayim. He calls our attention to pal geimayim. What are pal geimayim? Pal geimayim are rivers. Rivers are formed by underground springs, by rain, and there's tremendous bodies of water, and then the rivers break up into tributaries, into different courses of water. If they go, those courses of water, to a place where water is needed, where people need to water for their fields, where they need water to drink, then there's a benefit from those rivers. If they're not diverted in the right direction, those pal geimayim can end up going where water is not needed, out to the deserts where nobody needs the water, or even worse, they can end up flooding areas And that's why you have throughout history and even today the steady danger of rivers overflowing and causing tremendous damage. Almost every other year you have millions of Chinese that are evacuated from the Yangtze River. Same is true in the Amazon, the Nile, even in the United States, the Mississippi. Until they built dams and found ways to control the river would overflow and cause tremendous damage. Seshlei Mamelech Palgei Mayim, just like water, if it's not diverted in the right way, it should go where it's needed and be beneficial. It can end up going the wrong places. It can end up doing tremendous damage. That's the way Alev HaMelech is. The heart of the king, the decisions that he makes can be productive. They can bring prosperity and peace for his subjects. On the other hand, they can bring self-destruction, bring the worst kind of dangers to the people that he rules. So just like Palgei Mayim are left to man to decide how to divert them, where to see that the water should go to, in the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the lev of the melech, that he should make the decisions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And when a country is deserving of peace and prosperity, then the Rabbeinu Shleilem will see that the melech makes the right decisions. He'll make decisions which are good for the country. If, on the other hand, that country has to be woke up to tshuva, if that country needs to be punished as an oynish for its averes, then the Rabbeinu Shleilem will see that the melech makes those kind of decisions which bring upon that country the calamities, the catastrophes that will be more oil than tshuva, or will serve for them as a kapora. Palgei Mayim, like the waters that are diverted, Lev Melech b'yad Hashem l'choil asher yachpoit, whatever the Rabbeinu Shleilem wants, Yatenu is going to direct it that way. So really, on the one hand, we have to make hishtadlis, and like everything else, just like we know that panosis from the Rabbeinu Shleilem, but still, we have to make our hishtadlis. And then the rest we leave up to the Rabbeinu Shleilem. We also make hishtadlis when it comes to, if we have the opportunity to choose a ruler. Mark Doylin advised those who have an opportunity to vote for Bush as the candidate, because felt that he was better for El Yisrael, better for Klal Yisrael. So it was a chiyuv on everybody who had an opportunity to vote, to make that hishtadlis. How do we have to make the hishtadlis? Well, we have to know that ultimately, whoever would win is not going to be his decision. It's going to be what the Rabbeinu Shleilem wants to happen. And we have a lot of examples about ancient history into modern history of how the Rabbeinu Shleilem guides the hearts of the king. Halev Melech B'yad Hashem. The first one is Yankiv and Esav. Yankiv is told that Esav is coming with 400 terrorists coming to try to wipe out him and his mishpacha. And Yankiv Avinu makes all the ishtadlis that a person can make. Chazal tell us, the Deirim, the Tfilim, the Chomer. He sends him a tremendous gift, cattle and all good things that he should appease him. He prepares himself for war. He splits the camp into two. He davens to the Rabbeinu Shleilem. He makes all the ishtadlis. But what happens in the end? In the end, we find an encounter of Yankiv and Esav. This Esav, who came bent on destroying him, suddenly embraces him and kisses him. What happened? He hates him. He came to kill him. So Ramban says, Poshe, it's Lev Melech B'yad Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shleilem put it into his heart, don't kill, make peace. So we have that classic example of how it was possible for a sudden switch in that. What was the schus for that? About the Yankiv tefillah, Yankiv schusid. But what was the mechanics that did it? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, in a moment, change the attitude of Asa from a murderer to kissing his brother. Now we go on. Paroi refuses to send Klal Yisrael out of Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that the Rabbeinu Shleilem hits him with five makkos. Five terrible makkos. Dam, Tzvadeya, Kidim, Oh, Devil. And he doesn't give up. Finally, it's getting to a point where Paroi might give in. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do in the last five makkos? We have a Zak Hashem, a slave Paroi. The Rabbeinu Shleilem hardens his heart. The Bechira of Paroi would have been then already, give in, send them out. But the Rabbeinu Shleilem says, no, nothing doing, you forfeited your chance.
for that kind of an hour.
You're going to be now the opportunity for all of mankind to learn the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mantezeh ki ani Hashem b'kirav ha'olez, mantezeh ki ani Hashem. It's going to come out from the other five makas, but that needs taking away the prira of power, the yechazak Hashem zay power, and against the Ramban, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the heart of Paroi, and he won't let him give in at this stage. And then Paroi, finally, after Matis Proves, he can't take it anymore. He comes begging Paroi the Pajamot Ben Salaila, yeah? He comes begging Moshe and Aaron to go and get out of this country, but I had enough of you. And he's Mamish frightened to death. He was almost killed. Matis Proves, after the climax of 10 Makos. So any logical person, you're going to go and run after these people. You were glad to get rid of them. And what happens? Paroi hears from his agents that he sent along with Klal Yisrael that they're not returning so fast after 3 days. So what does he do? He takes his army, mobilizes his army, and he goes after them. It's crazy. What are you doing? Elamai, again, Lei Melech B'Yad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Paroi's destruction to be a lesson for all mankind, for all deities. So he takes away his prayer. And then Paroi comes to Yamsuf. Yamsuf, and he sees after 10 makris, he sees that the sea splits. It splits so neatly right here, each shaman can go through. And what does Paroi do? Anybody at this stage would hightail it back, get out of here. After you've seen already all the nisim of the makris, and you've seen already that the yam is splitting for them, what are you chasing them? And the Ramban says another beautiful lesson, the Ramban. The Ramban says that this was a shigaon. It was mamish madness. It's insanity on the part of Paroi. And this was the greatest pella of all of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was no greater ness than Paroi running after them. It showed that completely he has no control of himself. The Rosh Hashem says, go in there, drown yourself, and there he goes. Made of it. That slave Melech B'Yad Hashem in such a dramatic fashion. And it was true by Esau, it was true by Paroi. David HaMelech has his son Absalom rebels against him and has a tremendous following, and he has an opportunity to mamish take away the throne from his father, and all depends on the decision he's going to make over there. And he's given advice by Achitofel, given advice of how he could immediately win the war and everything, and he hears somebody else say something else, and he takes the advice which would be absolutely counterproductive to him. It ended up in his destruction. Leit Melech B'Yad Hashem, you're taking a decision over here which is going to affect the whole Am Yisrael. You don't have a choice in anymore. The Rebbe Yishlem takes away the Leit HaMelech, it's in his hands. The Melech becomes nothing more than a puppet in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And there are examples in our own time. World War II. Hitler, Yamach Shemai V'Zichrei, have conquered all of Europe. The other countries, even outside of Europe, were really afraid that the Germans would come and take the rest of the world. I was a youngster at that time, a kid going to public school in Pittsburgh when the Second World War was there, and I remember that we used to have air raid drills. Air raid drills, we used to go every couple of weeks. We would have air raid drills like, what do you do in case it's going to be a bombing by the Germans? Where do you stand? You stand by the wall, you stand over here. They didn't have shelters. It was a question of where to stand and where to go out. There was a real fear that the Germans would come and bomb Pittsburgh. Bomb the interior of America. He was standing on top of the world. And what does he do, this maniac? He goes suddenly, he turns around against his chief ally, the Russians, and goes and starts a war with them. A second front. It wasn't impossible. No country could be able to manage two fronts like that, a Russian front, a Western front, and an Eastern front. And that ended up, that was when the turning point of the war, that ended up in his destruction. Why? Why did he make such a decision? Historians have all kinds of scholars, like why? Leit Melech B'Yad Hashem. Napoleon. Napoleon, also the great conqueror of Europe. He's got everything going for him. And then he decides he's going to enter Russia in the winter. He was buried in the snow. That was the end of Napoleon. All kinds of scholars, historians can give you all kinds of explanation for why he did and why that. There's only one answer. Leit Melech B'Yad Hashem. And this Russia Marusha over here, who's clinically dead, really dead, wherever he is, this Arafat, he had an opportunity to get 99% of everything he wanted. Former Prime Minister Barak was ready to give him everything. And nobody understands until today why he refused. What did he refuse for? You have everything. You couldn't get possibly more than that. The Tavet says we weren't zeichah yet to have Shalom. So the Rebbe should let him put it into the heart of that melech of his people. That's it. You know, you're not going to accept it now. The examples are throughout all of history of Leib Melech Yad Hashem. And how does Hashem work it? Hashem has his ways of doing it. And it's always like, we know that Rabbi Einstein always wants us to do things as much as possible, B'derech HaTeva, and even the things he does, he tries to make them as closely resembling Teva, to give an opportunity for somebody who doesn't believe in the Nes to still have his doubts. There should still be a Bchirif. It would be so wide open, the Nes, then everybody would be convinced. So you have like Rabbi Einstein telling Noyach to make a Teva. What kind of a teva? A teva can hold all those animals, says the Ramban. Impossible to hold all those animals. Elamai, you have to be mastil, to hide the nest a little bit, so you do b'derech hateva, looks like they can go in there. Of course they were there, only b'derech hanes. The Rabbi Shleidem also, and all these things, why the historians can give all kinds of scholars for Napoleons and for Hitlers and for all of these things, and for Arafat, they'll give in the future. All of this is because the Rabbi Shleidem has his way of making it look like b'derech hateva. There's a beautiful story the Gemara tells in Masechta Me'ilah, which gives us an insight of the workings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in influencing the Leib HaMelech. It was one time that the Romans made a gzeirah. They made terrible gzeirahs against Klal Yisrael. They made a gzeirah that Klal Yisrael can't keep Taz and Mishpocha, that Klal Yisrael can't do Bris Milah, they can't keep Shabbos. Gzeirahs that went into the mamish, the very existence, the very survival of Klal Yisrael as an Am HaTorah. And they tried all the ways, b'derech hateva, how they could be mevatel gzeirah. There was one Jew who dressed up like a Roman, and he came and he was like the Roman statesman over there, and he tried to argue with them, and he gave them good logical arguments why it's counterproductive for their things, for their anti-Semitism, to these gzeirahs. And they believed it, they took it, they said, Rebbe mevatel. Then they said, oh, they found out he's a Jew. No matter how logical the eight seems, if it's coming from a Jew, it must be against us and for them. So they kept the Gzeder going. Chachamim had no eight, so they said, we have to find some there. Some Hashtadlis, what they did, they took a Pshim by Yechoy, it was a Yossi, and they said, you go, delegation, go to Rome, see if you can be Mavatl Gzeder. Okay, Pshim by Yechoy is on the way with his partner, and suddenly they encounter a shed. A shed by the name of Ben Temalia. Shed has a name too? Ben Temalia. Ben Temalia says to Shem Be'echoi, would you like me to come along with you? I can help you. And Shem Be'echoi sees this shed and hears that offer and he started to cry. He says, the Shifcha of my Oblis, Hagar, the Shifra of Avraham Avinu, she was Zeicha when she ran away from Sarah. The Rebbe Yishlalim wanted to communicate to her. He sent three malachim. Says three times over there, Yemelo Malach Hashem. Three malachim, the Shifra of my Avraham saw. And I'm not Zeicha to one malach, I have to have a shed to help me. But, says Shuri Yechoi, Yavoy Anes Mi'evu Shiroi. Let it come. Klal Yisrael needs a Nes. They need the help from spiritual forces. Let it come from wherever it comes. Come on, Ben Temaya. Ben Temaya tells you, I'll tell you what the strategy is. You're on the road. I'm going to precede you. I'll get there a little before you. And I'm invisible. I can make myself invisible. I'm going to enter into the princess, the daughter of the emperor. And she's going to go mad. Her mom's crazy. And she's going to start yelling. She's going to start yelling, bring me Reb Shimon. Bring me that Rabbi Shimon. And then, just then, you're going to come in. Yeah, I'm beautifully staying. You're going to come in, and they're going to tell you the princess is nuts. She wants you to come. She wants to cry for a shimmit. And you walk over, and all you say it very quietly. Nobody should hear you. Whisper, say Ben Temalian, say, get out of here, Ben Temalian, and I'll leave. And then she'll become normal. She'll become normal. The king will be grateful for you, and he'll be ready to accommodate you. And tachav. So he went. He goes in there and she starts yelling, Shimon, Shimon, she's not. And he goes over and says, say Ben Temalian, say. And he goes out and the king says, listen, I'm so grateful you saved my daughter. go into the vaults of Rome, where there's all kinds of treasures over there. That's where they kept the documents of all the Exodus. Go in there, whatever you want, you can take. Great reward, you can take great riches. What's if Shimon interested? He knows that the document with Exodus is there. And if there's no document in there, the Exodus will become bottles. He goes in, sees the document, he rips it up. Finished. That was the end of the Exodus. Happy ending. So that's the story. Beautiful story in the Gemara. Asks the Mashal a powerful question. Says, Rav Shimon was right. How come Chagor is zeicher to a malach, and he has to have a shed? Why didn't he have a malach? A malach could have done the same job, right? He could have also entered into there and made her crazy. Why does he have to be through a shed, not through the malach? Says the Mashal, beautiful tales. Says, how could it come into the mind of the emperor to make such wicked zeivus? Zeivus that are against the innocent people, to go and be oikev from them, their whole religious practice. How could it be? It must have been that a shed entered his mind and gave him that idea. If a shed was the one who brought about the zeivus, it has to be a shed that's going to get rid of the zeivus. That's what the Mashal answers. The pshat is very simple. The Rabbeinu Shleim always controls the leg of the melech. When Klal Yisrael wasn't Zeichus, he sent a shed to give that idea to the melech. Klal Yisrael will get shaken up. There'll be Mispal to HaKadosh Baruch, there'll be Chayzer B'tshuva, and then there'll be Zeichus. That what? To get rid of the Gzeirah. So the same shed is going to be the one to undo the Gzeirah. Sometimes Rabbeinu Shleim does it through a melech, sometimes through a shed. He has his ways of doing it. But the Yisrael Advarim is that Leib Melech B'Yad Hashem, so it's not a question anymore when we think of all the talk that's about, like, this Arab is going to be the guy running the PLO. Yes, Palestinian shtuyot. In the end, whatever decision is going to be made by the head of the Palestinians, whether they can continue chas v'shalom terror or they're going to make peace, is all going to depend on our ma'asim tov, on our schus. If we're zeicher, the way Yankee was zeicher, that an Esav should make peace with him, so we'll be zeicher too, that whoever rules there, whether it's an Arafat or it's his successors, that they will also have that change of heart and will be zeicher to a shalom here. Yankee Vavinu is zeicher to a change of heart of an Esav, because he asked the Rabbeinu Shel Matzileni, no miadochi miad Esav. It's the tfilis, it's the schusim, it's the limud Torah of an Am Yisrael that causes a change in the heart of our enemies for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to put the right ideas in there. And whether it's a Bush or a Kerry, whoever it is that's sitting on that seat of the presidency in the United States, we certainly hope that whatever decisions are going to be made by Bush in his second term will be for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, will be for the benefit of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. But it's all going to depend, again, it's going to depend on our mice and time. It's going to depend on a mice like this, a time when there's so few people learning Torah. It's very Shabbos is a time when people relax, unfortunately, even in Olam HaYeshivas, it's a time to hit parkut of letting go, and that's a time when the individuals who take upon themselves to have a Seder at that time, the Chashivas of Torah, like Chofetz Chaim writes, the Chashivas of Torah in a time when it's weak, when it's few people learning, it's the schar that you get for it is tremendous. It's much multiplied more than in a time when everybody else is learning. And it's not only in terms of your own individual schar, but it's also in the terms of the tremendous impact that this has on the decisions that have to be made by a melech in America, by a melech in the Middle East, by all of those rulers. And the emphasis that we need is also even not America and not Palestinian states. Unfortunately, we live in a country where our rulers over here, or a prime minister and his ministers and the government, has so many things that are against Yiddishkeit. Tomorrow there's a big demonstration because of Chilul HaKvorim in Akko, all the gzeiros that are made to cut the funding to yeshivas, to cut the funding to large families, all these terrible gzeiros that are made in our own, by our own brothers, in our own country. And there too we have to remember that the decisions that are made by a Sharon, by a Netanyahu, are not their own. It's Leib Melech B'Yad Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes those decisions. Because to be mo'ir us, that maybe we're not doing enough, maybe we're not zeicher yet, to have the right kind of, of an attitude from our own brothers to be able to help Torah, to understand that the Limud HaTorah of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, that's the greatest guarantee that we can have for Shalom, that all of the efforts that are made by armies and all the efforts that are made by police and the controlling terror and the whole war that Klal Yisrael has been fighting ever since the beginning of the state, all the battles fighting for its survival, they don't understand yet what David HaMelech said, what the Imoah interprets, what are the words when David HaMelech says that God, what's the meaning of our feet stood in the gates of Yerushalayim? So the Imoah Makkos, that the meaning is David HaMelech said. And David HaMelech knew what war was. David HaMelech was a great warrior, a great leader. And David HaMelech said, Mai Goran, who made it possible for our feet to stand successfully, to be able to ward off the enemy? The Torah that was learned in the Shari Yerushalayim, that's the meaning of we know it. Halavai that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should put it into the hearts of our rulers, of our government, that they should understand too. That's the Limud HaTorah, what you're doing here, and a Seder here, and throughout the week you're learning, and then all the yeshivas are learning, that's what makes it possible for us to control the terror and to keep whatever peace we have over here. It's the schus of Torah that we understand, halavai, that the impact of the Torah that you're learning over here should be able to bring a change of heart in our rulers to understand the yeshivas of Torah, and to change their attitude towards it, and to support the learning of Torah. And that it should also bring a change of heart in those enemies pledged to our destruction, and make them come to terms with peace with us, so we can continue learning Torah and Eretz Yisrael b'sholem, and with that kind of a schus, we'll be able to keep building up the Olam HaTorah, and be zeicher, the B'yas HaMashiach, and the Heavenly Name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.